Let me explain to you what's going to take place tonight. We're going to have a prayer request, and then I'll pray for the prayer request. We won't pray congregational. And then we're going to turn it over to the Baptist women, and we're going to do the week of prayer. So we're going to do four videos and four prayers, but while we're watching the videos, I would encourage you to pray for this whoever we're seeing. I feel like they're going to be slipping. Our focus won't be as strong this year, so we really need to go pray about all these things. So let's open up in prayer, then we'll take prayer concerns. Almighty Father, we love you. We praise you. Thank you, God, for this night, for each one here. I pray your blessings on them. And Father, as we look at these videos, I pray that you would bless our hearts and break our hearts. And Father, that we'd realize the importance of our Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And Father, we just pray that your presence will be here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn me down just a little bit, Alex. All right, prayer concerns.
Kira.
Kira.
And
Jaquela. She's what? Oh, okay. Kayla's halfway through pregnancy, which is a really good thing. She's lost several babies, so we continue to pray for her. Phyllis Booth has a friend that is going to have surgery, emergency type of surgery. She's got a blood clot. She had a knee replacement 10 days ago. So it's pretty dangerous, and they're going to try to get that clot and fix whatever's broken. Her name is Kay. Anybody else? Okay. Building. The asphalt is gone. The concrete that we worked so hard to get up is gone. All right. Okay, Mr. Haley is close to the Lord on his way home. Sarah Cook family.
My Uncle Jerry is sent home from the Veterans Hospital in Nashville with hospice.
Okay. Carol's uncle has sent home from the hospital under hospice care. Well, we're probably either this Sunday, I'm going to send out a phone tree message, so don't disregard the odd number coming. We're going to go back to two services and not do Sunday school. Things are getting so bad. One of the reasons behind this is to try to keep us from getting sick so that we can enjoy Christmas with our families. So I'm thinking we'll just go ahead and do it this Sunday. I'll put out a phone tree message saying we're not going to have Sunday school, but we'll have the first one, mask only, second one, come as you want, please. And I hope if you hear any complaining about it, just tell them to see Ginger. Nothing like throwing you up under the bus, huh? I think we need to. I mean, we've probably gone too far. And maybe if everybody did this, it would help. I don't know. Nobody knows. So this Sunday, we're going to start two services and no Sunday school. We have had several in the church get it here lately, so we need to be careful. Some of you don't know Audrey Sutton, but she's one of them that got COVID, and she hit it really bad. She's probably about, I don't know, maybe 80 years old, 75 to 80. She doesn't come to church very often, but she comes to Sunday school every Sunday, just about, or she used to. She's in Carl's class now. She hasn't been here for some time because of the COVID. Don Mann, he hasn't been here in a couple weeks. He's been diagnosed with cancer. It's in his jaw. And so next week they're going to do surgery. He's got a blood clot and he's got that cancer. So they're going to, I think it's Thursday, they're going to put a like a basket in his veins to catch the blood clots. And then Friday, if he goes through that, they're going to take the bone out and take a bone out of his wrist and put it in place of his jaw. And I don't know how that works, but that's the plan. So Don Mann, his wife's name is Sandy, and she probably needs as many prayers as Don does. Next week, yes, Vanderbilt. There are some unspoken prayer concerns. We have somebody going in next week for we have two people going in for outpatient surgery, but just unspoken for them. The question is, the other one that is positive, are they active in church? And, okay, all right. If you come down with something, please stay home. I know sometimes we don't know that we have it, but that's what's happening. We're not knowing and we're bringing it and passing it along. Okay, praise. Ron told me about it. He said that piece of wood was that big. Brian's a good guy to help. I'm not sure. Are we on Alex? Alex, are we on Facebook? Are we live?
Not right yet.
Not right yet.
Do I need
to? No. Is that Marvin? Okay. Kathy's aunt and uncle has been diagnosed with COVID. They're out of town now. Aaron? Oh, yeah. Really good that the Lord's birthday is coming up. Yes, it is. Amen. All right. Let's go, Lord, and pray. Father, Lord, we love you and we praise you. And God, what a privilege it is to meet. Sometimes just in a small group, Lord, is very enjoyable. So thank you, God, for who's here tonight. And we know, God, that You have a plan, and this is part of it. We praise you, Father, for this day and the blessings that you've given us today, the breath of air, Lord, that we breathe, the health that we enjoy. If we're here, Father, we're healthy. And Father, I pray that as we go through the stuff of life here, that we would keep our focus on you and realize that you're in control of all this mess. You've created this world, Father, and you know how to fix it. And Father, so we lift this world, we lift Clarksville, we lift our country up to you, asking, Lord, that we would feel the very presence of God. Even, Father, during times of chastisement, we praise you and know, Lord, that without that, we would not belong to you. I pray, Lord, for those that are sick. Lord, the list is getting larger and larger by the day. And I pray for their health, Lord, that even some of them will not come through this. And I pray for them, praying, Lord, that they may be saved and they'll just be stepping into glory. God, if they're not saved, I pray that somehow or another they would receive the gospel in their heart and receive it. And Lord, that they'd make a decision for you in their time of great need. As we watch these videos tonight, Father, I pray that you would help us to realize that there's people all over this world that have never heard the gospel, never heard about Jesus. They've heard other things, Lord, and our missionaries are doing the very best they can. And Father, they're experiencing the COVID as well. They're experiencing hardships. And we lift them up to you, asking, Lord, that you would just bless them in a great and mighty way. I pray, Lord, for our Lottie Moon offering. Our goal is always $17,000, but I pray, Lord, that you would put it on our hearts what to give, and whatever we give, if it's from you, would be just enough. Lord, we pray for our prayer concerns. I pray for Kay. I ask, Lord, that as she goes through this surgery, that you would correct the blood clot problem and the knee problem. We pray for Carol's daughters and uncle, and Lord, that you would wrap your arms around them and keep them, and thank you, Father, for what you've done in their life so far. We pray for our building, Father, and how you've opened up doors. And Lord, again, we pray for continued blessings as we see it being built. Father, I pray that everything would be according to your will, and we'd see excitement take place within our own hearts and be willing to commit to man it and do whatever we need to use it as a tool for witnessing. Father, I pray for Haley and her friend. I especially pray for Haley that you would protect her from anything, Father, any kind of sickness, but especially the COVID. And Father, help her through this MS. And we pray for a miracle in her life of healing. Father, we pray for the Sarah Cook family and ask that you give them great comfort. Father, I don't know their spiritual condition, but I pray that they would be saved and others would see that they're find joy even in death. I pray for Don and Sandy. Lord, I lift them up to you, especially Don, and that you would touch that cancerous jawbone. And as they take it out, I pray they'd get all the cancer and whatever the bone is that they replace it with would transplant well. And Father, he'd have a quick recovery. We pray, Father, for Kathy's aunt and uncle, asking, Lord, that you would grant them healing as well. And pray for Mr. Haley, Lord, that he would feel your presence with him even now. And as we go into this night, Father, I pray for the women that are going to be leading us and leading us in prayer. And Father, encourage them and bless them for their efforts. We pray for Sunday, Lord, as we go back to two services, that you would bless each service. Lord, that you would control the negative thoughts. Father, we're just trying to do the best we can, and I pray that you would continue to guide us through this. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Alex, go ahead and do the first one.
Nani amewahi shikwa na polisi? Nani amewahi kuliwa na chawa? Nani amewahi lala njaa kwa street? Nani amewahi dhulumiwa kimapenzi ama anajua mtu amewahi dhulumiwa huko street? Kudhulumiwa kimapenzi.
Whenever I was hanging out with the boys, people would come to me and be like, you know, these boys are dangerous. You know, these boys are going to hurt you. You know, you shouldn't be here. I mean, they're just despised by everyone.
Only a few understand that these are just normal children who have been forced to the streets with different circumstances.
They're not loved. They're actively insulted and abused and kicked.
Show them love, and they will respond with love. Show them a bad attitude, and they will repel from you. They are just children.
In 2009-2010, I was serving as a photographer with the International Mission Board, and one of my last assignments was a story on a young lady working with street kids in Nairobi, Kenya. I would spend from 4 in the morning to 10 at night with this group of 20 kids, getting to know them, hearing why they were on the streets, and the whole time I was like, oh my gosh, the Lord is gonna call somebody to work with these kids. Like, somebody needs to come do something. So I finally just said, Lord, are you calling me to go work with those boys? And I had peace. Like, I knew that that's what I was being called to do.
Hopefully 13 boys will come to the shelter this morning, and they'll be rescued off the streets.
Honestly, there were so many years that I worked on the streets in Nairobi without a place to take boys. I would just get to know them and help them, like, in the small ways that I could. And the fact that God has provided the shelter and given us opportunity to be rescuing kids off the streets and make a real difference in their life, it's really exciting. Like, life will not be the same for these boys. And Naivasha Children's Shelter, our mission is to rescue them from the streets, to help them to be rehabilitated, to get off drugs, to go through trauma counseling. And as much as we see that these kids need food and they need education and they need a bed to sleep in, they do, they need all of those things. But what they really need is the love of a family. They need to belong somewhere. They need to be well cared for. They need to know that they're loved. And we show them that through the love that the social workers give them here. We show them that by pointing to the love of Christ, and we show them that by putting them back in their family, where they belong, with people who love them. One of our social workers, Elphys, will spend hours looking for one kid that's lost, that he wants to be able to have a new life. And it's not just Elphys. All of the social workers at the shelter are amazing. They go to the streets every day and every night. They get to know the boys, they get to hear their story, know why they came to the streets, know what happened in their family, and offer them a way out.
I talk to them, I make them understand that despite everything that you're going through, there is hope and there is someone who cares. That's why I'm here.
I had seen enough of orphanages, I had worked with enough organizations that I knew the best place for any child is in their family. And we don't just take them home and drop them off. What we do is we spend a lot of time going to the family and finding out what sent that child to the streets. Was it the influence of peers? Was it poverty at home? And then spend a lot of time working on that issue with the family. Every child that's placed back at home, they follow them until they reach the age of 18 or they finish school, just to make sure that child has no chance of going back to the streets. Everything is fine. They have enough food. They're in school. They invest their lives in these children.
I'm sure that these kids, if given a chance and a place to make their lives, for sure they are going to change and make a better generation to come.
I just want to sincerely say thank you. It is because of Southern Baptist that I am able to be here. The shelter is able to keep running. I'm able to serve in this way because of your gifts to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering and the cooperative program. And it's miraculous to see a child that was alone living on the streets and hopeless reunited with their family. This is the model that works. This is what helps to get kids back home where they should be and where they want to be.
One thing they didn't really talk about in there is that when those kids come into the shelter and they're getting all that love and everything, they're also having to work. They're not just coming in and eating and getting clothes and then going back out. They have to work. They have to want to be there. And they don't make any of them stay. If they want to leave, they can leave. But I think it's really cool that Kristen and Elvis have given their lives to help these boys' lives. One of the things I liked in the little flyer was one of the little boys said, if I could tell a friend on the streets one thing about the shelter, I would tell him, come to the shelter and change your life and find your family. And I was like, that's so cool that a boy would come up with that. But they've asked us to pray for some things, so let us pray. Lord, I pray that Francis and all the boys like him will find new life in Christ, and that the boys are reconciled with their families. The families will also find hope in Jesus, and that God will bless the work of the shelter staff as they reach out in love to boys who are hurting. I also pray for Kristen and Elvis. Keep them from losing sight of the goals of helping the boys that the Kenyans regard as worthless. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Here in Thailand, there are so many people who don't know God. And no one they know knows God.
Thai people have a desperate desire to get rid of the sin that they know they have. They're going to the temples and they're taking money and gold and flowers and anything they can do that they think is good that might erase the sin that they know that is inside them.
My calling to be a doctor and calling to be a missionary came on the same day. When a missionary came and spoke at our church, he said the line, the saddest thing I've seen after 35 years on the mission field is children sick and dying because there's no doctor to care for them. And it was a lightning bolt through my soul. And I said, okay, God, I'll be a medical missionary.
Our ministry here takes mobile clinics all over the country of Thailand. Church planners call me up and say, I'm trying to start a new church or there's never been one, would you come and help me? Medicine is just a means for me to share the gospel with those who have no other access. When I talk about how to take care of their physical needs, it's just so easy for them to see when I start talking about their soul that they need a savior as well. And American churches have partnered with me in that. And they have sent me short-term mission teams that come with me for about a week every month. And we go out and do mobile clinics all over the country. Without the churches coming alongside me, I cannot do what I do. In general, people here do not like talking about spiritual things. But on mobile clinic, we can talk to 100 people in a day, 200 people, 300 people in a day that will come to mobile clinic. And there we can share Christ with so many people at one time. It makes mobile clinic a great avenue for sharing the gospel. The point of mobile clinics is to start churches, groups of Thai believers that will go on to grow people in their new faith, to disciple them in their understanding of who Christ is, and to grow them together into groups that will become churches. There's a lot of things that money can't buy. Being able to be here and see God praised where he has never been praised before, that is a dear joy. Seeing souls saved in areas where no one has ever known God before, watching them grow in their faith and lead others to faith, and watching them grow together into churches, seeing churches start where no one has ever worshiped God before. Money can't buy that.
A couple of things they didn't say was that they were there 6 years before anybody came to know Christ. Long time. And this is what turned it around. They had this sentence that they would say to, after the doctors had worked on them as patients, they would say, "This is the medicine for your body. Now let's talk about what you need for your soul." And when they heard that sentence, they were very interested, and then a lot of them started coming to know Christ. But it took them 6 years to get there. So they have prayer requests. Let's pray for those. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray that none of the new Christians would fall away from the faith. We pray that you would have those who have yet to decide will choose to connect with their lives to Christ, and pray for the formation of healthy churches in Banpo. Amen.
We have certain stories in the New Testament, like the parable of the lost sheep, where you leave 99 to go find the one. And so God doesn't forsake that one lost sheep. You have these small micro people groups where the gospel has not flowed yet because of geography, because of distance, because of cost, because of culture, because of racism. I really feel that these micro peoples are part of his heart to go after all the sheep, to go after that remnant. In the Amazon, you can go a day without seeing another living soul, which is kind of freaky. But a lot of the reason why you can't see people is because they're hidden. These are hidden peoples, small in population, widely dispersed. They have centuries of bloody history where they've been exploited. They're animists. They believe in spirits. When you live that way, you tend to be dominated by fear. I see marginalized people, I see forgotten people, I see invisible people that are in desperate need of the gospel. The area is massive, and so to get from where I live, which is already a jungle city, I have to get into a land plane and fly to another port city, and then the next day we'd get in a boat, and in this slow boat we travel sometimes 3 days to get to where we're going.
Because we're going into areas where the gospel's not, sometimes it just takes time.
But recently we have noticed just God opening some doors. God has been working to send out missionaries, indigenous men and women, where there's no evangelical presence. A well-trained and called indigenous man will be much more effective. They tend to be able to get into hard-reach areas without government restrictions. You have fewer language limitations. A lot of my work is training them. So if I want to teach an indigenous man how to do storying, he has to see me do it first. Then after a while of walking alongside, he's very capable at that point. One partner in particular, he wants to go work with a group that has killed outsiders that have walked in. He's like, "I don't care. God sent me to go do it." And this is such a 180 from most indigenous culture that you have to look at him and say, "God brought this change to this man." You see families coming to Christ. You do see village headmans getting permission to come in.
It really confirms everything that we're out there to do, to go out and make disciples of all nations. When we have those things happen, we sit back and go, okay, this is what it's all about.
They can go and they can teach others, and those people can teach others. I want to see this momentum like a wave through the jungle where I can say, look, I didn't see it happen. I wasn't there, but I know the gospel has reached these dark corners.
When supporters of the Lottie Moon Christmas offering gives, it allows us to do things like buy an outboard motor that gets us upriver, to get equipment that we need to help us stay out there in the jungle.
I've been supported by Lottie Moon. Y'all's generosity is a luxury that I never want to take for granted. So I want to say thank you for that. God is faithful in the hard times as he is in the good times, and our mandate doesn't change. These people groups in the jungle, you could be born, live, and die without ever hearing the name of our Savior. So someone has to go, because if we don't go, no one's gonna go. If we don't train people to go, no one's gonna go. It's worth it.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for and praise you for this day that you've given us. And I thank you so much for these missionaries that they travel in unknown. They go to countries where there may be danger, and it's hard to get to sometimes, and it takes days. And I just praise you for their willingness to do that. I pray that you be with them as they continue to spread the gospel. And I pray that more lives will be changed, people will be saved. And as new churches are started, Father, I pray that people will be saved, and they will they will disciple others, Father, and they will be saved. And I just praise you for allowing these missionaries to serve you. And I pray for this church as we go into Lottie Moon Christmas offering season. Father, I just pray that we will look to you and ask you and consider what we can give, Father, and give out of the love of our hearts so that these missionaries can continue to serve you here and around the world. Father, I thank you for this church that is mission-minded, and I just praise you tonight for this time that we can have together, that we can pray for our missionaries. Thank you for each one of them as they serve. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
You guys are just going to have a conversation directly with Dave and ignore the cameras.
All right, here we go. What does it mean to be Italian?
Italian means to be full of life. It means to love life, to love people, to enjoy eating. It means to talk with your hands. It means taking time to get to know somebody.
It means to be a part of a family. It's more about the importance of a relationship. It's more about the importance of caring about the person that you have just spent the last 2 or 3 hours with and not wanting that to end.
Are your kids American or Italian?
They are not totally American and they are not totally Italian. They're a mixture of both of them.
English is definitely their first language, but Italian is definitely their first culture.
Cavallo fatto di legno.
Benissimo.
They go to Italian schools. Their friends are Italian. They attend church in Italian. They go play in Italian. They go to swim class in Italian. Our neighbors, all Italian. And so they know how to, you know, be Italian in our Italian world.
I think it's very important as missionaries, as international workers, that we become part of the culture. We'll never truly be Italian, and that we'll never be Italian. We understand that. But it's important for us to engage and be a part of the culture.
You know, we're there to love the people of Italy. And we can't love the people of Italy if we don't know the people of Italy.
Why are you in Italy?
We're in Italy because we love people.
It's not just a calling to be there. It's truly, we feel passionate about being there, about seeing them become Christ, about developing relationships, about being an incarnational witness in a place that really needs to know Christ in a living way. One of the key hallmarks of the ministry is utilizing different avenues to multiply ourselves, whether it be state conventions, churches, or college students. And every summer we host about anywhere from 10 to 15, sometimes even 20 college students, and we're placing them in cities all around us. And these college students, by spending 6 or 8 weeks there, working alongside interning these local churches, are able to share the gospel 1,000 or more times. And it's getting the gospel a lot further, a lot faster, and more impactful than we ever could.
What keeps you here?
What keeps me here? It's people like Federico, who we helped him plant a church a few years ago, and now he's working on a second church in a place called Spoleto.
Or Ilaria, who is seeking, who wants to know more about Jesus.
I feel like Marco, so walked into a pizzeria and prayed over a meal, and him and the waiters asked me, "Are you a believer?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "Well, I am too," and encouraged them as they're part of their local church.
It's about Paula, who is a fellow believer who just lost her husband, who's struggling and needs walking beside. It's like Fabio, the owner of the gelateria that we like to go to.
Yeah, he's crazy. He's crazy.
Who's always so happy to see us when we come in. It's about Patricia, who really wants to seek the Lord, but is still so enrooted with her Catholicism traditions. And it's for Marisa, who is undergoing cancer treatments, but knows that we pray for her daily. It's about the people. It's about caring enough about the people that we want them to know Jesus.
The Worthies have been, Shannon and Charlie Worthy have been serving the Lord in Italy for 17 years. And they have several prayer requests, so let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer for the Worthies, please. Lord, I just pray now that you'll just continue to build strong relationships with the Worthies in Italy, Lord. They just are so blessed each summer to have college students come and work alongside with them. And as Charlie had said, Lord, that they were able to spread the gospel so much quicker. And Lord, I just pray that you'll just be with Christians as they find them and come across them in restaurants and wherever, Lord. And I just pray now that you'll just be with many of the Italians as they come to faith in Christ, and that the Worthies will continue to be a witness for you. And Lord, I just pray that as they gather together, Lord, as believers, that you'll just help them, each other, to encourage one another in the Lord and in the Word. I just pray now, God, that you'll also keep them safe. We know COVID is all over the world. And we just pray, God, that you'll just protect them, their families, Lord, and all those that they come in contact with. And I just pray that you'll just bless them, especially this day. And I thank you and praise you for what they're doing and in the lives of the people in Italy. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just a couple thoughts, then we're going to dismiss and go. I want to thank the women for doing this. What a privilege it is to have a church that has women that will get up and pray in front of people. Day one, the focus was on family. So as I'm watching this video, I'm realizing in the United States, we don't always focus on family, do we? We have a lot of broken homes in the United States. We don't respect our kids. Our kids don't respect parents. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. We're not family oriented, it doesn't seem like anymore. Now, Christians are sometimes, but not always. So I'm going to ask you to begin to pray for our families. But as we pray for our families, realize that as we give to Lottie Moon, every ball up there represents $1,000. And it's going to pay for missionaries to keep these families together. Remember, these kids were being bused into the camp voluntarily because they didn't have a very good home life. And they deserve our prayers. Day 3 was in Thailand, and their greatest need, according to this, was short-term doctors and nurses. So I know First Baptist Clarksville from time to time has sent doctors and nurses to do short-term mission work. Maybe we could hook up with them later on when things get straightened out, but that's the kind of things that if you have a gift that God has given you, a talent that God has given you, then don't you think that the church ought to be using those for the Lord? And day 4, if you notice the people in Thailand that they were talking to, I wrote down, I hesitate to say this word, but they were old, a lot of old people. And some of those over in Thailand, when I say old, are 90 years old. I've been over there, I've seen the elders. And if they don't hear the gospel before they die, what's going to happen to them? They're going to go to hell. That's what really hits the nail on the head when we start giving generously to Lottie Moon. We're paying for missionaries to go over there and spread the gospel with old people. Can you imagine if somebody over here in the United States never told you about the Lord Jesus Christ and we were sitting all tonight, every one of us not knowing Christ? Well, that's the majority of people in Thailand. They do not know Jesus. And that was the same one that they went 6 years before they had their first salvation experience. So realize that we paid the salary for 6 months, 6 years, and we were faithful, and they were faithful, and then we start seeing fruit. So here's the deal. They are over there sharing the gospel. We're sending support. And I don't know if God does this like this or not in my heart. I know God doesn't use the word credit, but you get just as much credit for supporting them and paying for their upkeep as they do for going out and sharing the gospel. So when we look the Lord in the eye, and we're all going to look him in the eye one day, one way or another, and if you were a generous giver to things like that and Annie Armstrong and the other mission activities, when he said, how many, and he's not going to ask you this probably, but how many people were you involved in their salvation experience? Think about the millions of people that get saved because of our missionaries, and they're out there because we support them and pay their salary. Day 4 was in Peru, and their main focus was small group peoples, sometimes 4 or 5 people that they go out and, you know, use to in reference that Jesus left the 99 to go after that one sheep. Again, we pay the upkeep so they can go after the one sheep, and that's scripture. That's exactly what Jesus tells us to do. And I was, all these things, I always yank at my heart. I was watching as he was talking about that boat motor and how that boat motor allowed him to go reach people. How many of us ever think about things like that? But the offering pays for things like that. People donate, but also the offering pays for their needs, their tools. And then they used the word marginalized and forgotten people. Well, that's enough to break our hearts. There's an awful lot of people like that in this world that need to hear about Jesus Christ. And then day 6, the last one, was the Italian. What does it mean to be Italian? And it's full of life. And who couldn't be full of life when you get that pizza like they had? I mean, gracious, I'm volunteering to go to Italy right now. They're like we are. They're used to having things. And most of the time when people are used to having things, they're hard to reach. They're spoiled. Although all of them seemed like they were laughing and joking and carrying on, they need the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they were also the ones that used college kids to spread the gospel. How do you think the college kids get over there? Somebody has to pay for that. We've had college kids come here, and they come here to ask us to support them financially, and we have, and we've given. A couple years ago, we gave enough to send four kids into a mission work. So tonight is all about the Lord's business. This is what he put Hillcrest Baptist Church right here for. This is what he put all the churches for, all the Christians, to go out and reach the lost people. So I'm thinking about this from a pastor's standpoint. I'm thinking about all the churches that gather every Sunday, and we bicker about how we sing songs, whether it's traditional or contemporary. When we think about those kids, they're just running wild. What should our focus be? In the lost. So take these videos home with you. And those that didn't get to see them tonight, pray for them. We got a lot of people who are not coming. I don't know how they're going to get focused on Lottie Moon, but this is an odd year for this. So let's pray that God would raise up some generosity. Let's pray now. Father Almighty, all of us, Father, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. 2 Corinthians, Father, chapter 8 talks about being a generous giver. And Father, you'll bless a generous giver. The third chapter of Malachi talks about try you in the way of giving. And Lord, the test is, can we outgive you? And of course, the answer is no. And Father, if we give with a generous heart, the Bible says in the third chapter of Malachi that you'll open up the floodgates of heaven. And our church, Father, in the past has been very generous. And the things that we've been generous about, well, God, we're seeing fruit in the back of the church right now. You've allowed us to start building because we were generous. I pray, Lord, that you would continue making our hearts generous to give, to support our missionaries. And I pray for them, Father. Some of them are in places that are not very nice. They're dangerous. They're just forgotten. So, Father, bless them. Encourage them. Love them, especially this time of Christmas, birth of Jesus, and as they'll be celebrating the same way we do. I saw kids, missionary kids tonight, Father. I ask your blessings on them. What an adjustment that would be on most kids and that have grown into it. And I just praise you, Father, for what we saw tonight. As we leave tonight, I pray you protect us on the way home. I pray, Lord, your blessings tonight. I pray for a good night's rest. I pray for opportunities, Lord, to serve you tomorrow. We love you and praise you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, it is.